welcome to Ray and Tay today. It's Saturday. Woo! Sports weekend.
Hello, and welcome to this very special Saturday show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Join this fun. Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Also, rayandtaytoday.com. Check us out at YouTube, Facebook, and tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. It's going to be fun, man. It's March, Ray. The madness begins. Let them know, man. We got a busy show.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. So we'll take you through the breaking news in the world of sports, and then we'll run around some leagues. We'll take you around the NBA. We'll take you around NCAA hoops, and then we'll take you around Major League Baseball. We'll start to talk some spring training, some thoughts on Major League Baseball, and then in between, back by popular demand, we'll bring you our segment, Yo, That's My Guy, and we'll talk about some folks out there that may be below the radar screen that you need to keep an eye on. Maybe it's an NBA player. Maybe it's an NCAA hoopster. But we got some guys we need you to keep an eye on. Hold on, look, right off the bat, it looks like we got a caller. Let's see who this caller is and what they want to talk about.
Yeah.
Hello, caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, how's it going? It's Greg Hayes from Eagle Eye Sports. I told you guys I was going to have to call in sometime soon.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Great. How's it going, man?
I'm doing
man?
All good. How's it going, guys?
Good,
man.
What's on your mind?
I didn't really have an idea when I called. I thought you guys were going to have a set topic, but it's all good. I can come up with something.
We got plenty of set topics, and how about right off the bat, your Eagles are making tons of moves. What are you thinking about keeping your offensive line and your receivers?
Jeremy Macklin for a year.
I was thinking about this. I saw that they re-signed Peters and Kelsey. They got them through, like, 2018 or something. I think that's good. I think it's good to lock those guys up. I didn't like the length of how we signed everybody. Well, offensive line was fine, but, like, we signed Riley Cooper for 5 years. But the key you got to look for is the guaranteed dollars. We didn't sign him for huge commitments. I think the front office was smart about how we handled that. I think, actually, one of the signings I didn't like the most was bringing back Jeremy Macklin for a year, and I know that it was only 1 year, and it's relatively inexpensive for a guy who has a high ceiling. But just from a standpoint where we're trying to gel for the future and everything, I didn't like how we're going to bring him back for 1 year. I'll tell you ahead of time, we're probably not going to bring him back for a long-term contract. We tried signing him long-term, and he didn't like the terms, which basically means he thought he deserved more money. And I don't know. I just a guy coming off a big injury like that, he's probably going to lose some physical ability. I don't see how.
Now, you heard all the reports, though, that his training is exceptionally ahead of schedule and that other teams were sniffing around. So.
I did actually hear he was doing really well, and I'm happy for him. I like Jeremy Macklin, and I think that once he hits the open market, though, he's going to demand a lot of money from other teams. So unless he's willing to stay with us just because he likes us, I don't think we're going to be willing to pay him the same thing in a year from now.
So, but here's the thing. Why not? I mean, what's the downside? Even if it's just 1 year, I think you roll out there with Macklin, Celek, Riley Cooper, and DeSean Jackson. I mean, that's
and
an
Zach
unbelievable
Ertz,
squad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
put,
no.
And Zach
no,
Ertz.
We have a very good receiving core right now, actually much, much, much better than we did last year. And you saw what happened last year with Foles' production and everything. So
right.
I think from a pure lethality standpoint, that's going to be crazy to watch. I think for 1 year, it's going to be very, very fun football. But what I'm telling you is if he has a year where he does not as well as – I don't know. It kind of depends on how he fits with the system. We saw he did pretty well back with, like, Vic and everything, but it's just – maybe he doesn't fit in. We saw DeSean Jackson. He did well last season, but at times he kind of didn't seem to mesh really well with Nick Foles, kind of like how we saw Riley Cooper flourish with Nick Foles. So it kind of just depends on the system. I think that Jeremy Macklin.
You know what I'll tell you this? I think, one, you're going to draft a receiver probably second or third round. I think there's a lot of depth in this draft. And Avanta's gone. And I love your offensive line. Also, Lane Johnson, who's a friend to the show. We're trying to get him on, and he's following us on Twitter. But
hey, that's awesome.
I think Nick Foles is developing so well with the offense in the second year. Macklin is actually a better receiver and runs better routes than Cooper and Jackson anyway. So having him with the two tight ends, I think it could be deadly, and I think you guys could well be on your way to another division title. I think probably your first two picks have got to be just shoring up the defense and making sure that everything is sort of set. I mean, if you signed your own free agents on the offensive side, maybe you go out there and get you, you know, one other cornerback. You guys gave up so many explosive plays over 20 yards this year in that secondary. So, you know, you could draft
powerful.
You a corner, get another safety, you know, so – look, I think if that's your major team, you know, you can't be upset with where the Eagles are headed. Let me ask you a quick question about some NBA. I don't know if you're a big NBA guy. What do you think about all these NBA buyouts? Because that's something that we're talking about today. And it's almost like a second trade deadline. It's kind of crazy.
Sixers, if you're a big Philly fan, are you also a Sixer fan?
Yeah, no, I'm a big Sixer fan. To answer the question about the buyouts, I think it kind of goes hand-in-hand with the diva mentality that goes on in the NBA, like a guy gets traded to a team. To give Danny Granger some, like, a little bit of a break from me, our team had no plans to keep him for the future anyway. But
it's not his fault.
Yeah, he wasn't just going to fit. We just wanted to dump E.T. and LaVoy Allen. But I think Danny Granger going to somewhere where he wants to win is pretty expected and typical for a guy who knows that he doesn't have the same things that he used to. So I don't see it as much of a surprise. Caron Butler kind of surprised me a little bit more than anybody, but the Bucks are kind of in the same train as the Sixers are. So looking back, it makes a lot of sense too. I don't know. I don't mind the buyouts, but because, I mean, like you said, it's like a second trade deadline, like all this stuff's going on. But what I don't like is like the rich are getting richer. They're getting all these players. And it doesn't matter to me because I know that the Sixers have two first rounds and like six second rounds. And that's more than you could want out of any Caron Butler or Danny Granger. But it's just like these guys are so typical with, oh, I'll sign with the Heat. I'm like, of course you will. I would sign with the Heat. no surprise there. Like they're trying to like make their own little decisions like LeBron did. Like, oh, I'll sign with the Heat. Like, of course you will, but nobody really cares because you're Danny Granger.
Right, but let's take it to the other side. I got one for you. You are looking at it that way, but what about these teams tanking? What about the Bucks, the Sixers, these teams, not the Hawks, because, I mean, but they didn't keep Jameson. But still, I mean, these guys, in a way, they're sort of buffing the system much more than maybe the diva players. These teams are being almost unethical in the sense that they're just, like, making trades that they had no intention of ever keeping Granger. They knew they never wanted him to set foot in the building because they're just dropping salaries so that way they have more cap space. And just everybody's getting ready for this draft, you know.
Listen,
so, I mean,
I agree with you from the standpoint of ethics, like pure ethics. Like that's messed up. I do agree. I don't like the institution of tanking because it kind of leaves this year app where fans are kind of left to hang dry. Like it kind of sucks for everybody. But I think that the thing that tanking kind of ensures is hope. But at the same, it's not a flawless system. Like you could tank. And we have nine picks in the first two rounds, the Sixers do. They could miss on every single one of them, and we could still be just as bad. But if these teams are getting like Danny Granger or Caron Butler, they know what they're getting, and they're still getting better. We're taking a huge gamble by being so bad. And, I trust Sam Hinkie because of what he did with the Rockets, but much more than I would trust like if the Eagles were trying to tank or something. But I it's not flawless. I still expect us to get, like, a top five guy. I think that we have actually a very good chance of landing, like, a top three pick, but which will help us for sure. But there's no surety outside of that. I mean, we've seen great players play on the worst teams possible and just not do very well. So.
Well, you've also saw – I mean, you saw – remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Boston tried to tank when Rick Pitino went there. They tried to tank, and they ended up – shooting
hoping
for Tim Duncan. They had two picks in the first round, and they ended up getting Chauncey Billups, who turned out 3-4 years later to be a decent player in the NBA.
Exactly, yeah.
But it didn't turn out the way they wanted it. The only thing I can say about tanking is that even though we sit here and we poo-poo it, I think Philly is absolutely doing the right thing. So I hate to say it because they're collecting. It's not like they're collecting 50%, you know, from the fans. It's not like they're saying, "Oh, pay us a discount when you want to come see the team." But look, at the end of the day, you figure Nerlens Noel, if he turns out to be a player, and all the picks that you talked about, plus the salary cap flexibility, if I had to put my money on a young team, hey.
Michael Carter Williams is a stud.
Of course, and Thaddeus Young, and they've got some stud players. But think about this, the Eastern Conference, you know that if the Miami folks stay together and if Indiana can keep Deshaun Stevenson and stay together, then really if you don't make these moves, what's Philly's prospects for the next 5 years? To be a 6-7-8 seed? So they have to. And I don't know what the NBA does about it. I also think that this kind of draft is special. This draft is one of those drafts that is going to be like the 2003 draft, you know, with LeBron and Wade and Bosch, and maybe the 84 draft with Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon and those guys.
Yeah, you got to throw your chips in.
Yeah, you got to take a chance.
It's definitely a big gamble, but you said Michael Carter-Williams, and I need to give a shout-out for that segment you guys are doing. Like, yo, that's my dude. Michael Carter-Williams is my dude. I love that guy. I love Michael Carter-Williams, man. He is the best. I mean, back when the Sixers, earlier this season, like when they beat the Heat in the opener, like they were winning, like they were like, I think they were like 5-2 or something. That's when everyone was like, that's when everyone was about it. But then we quickly lost like 20 in a row. Here's the thing.
A lot of credit to the GM, too, because when you traded Jrue Holiday and ended up drafting Michael Carter-Williams, who as a freshman at Syracuse, I mean, he did a little bit, but I didn't project this.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and so to give up a Holiday who was, what, 18-8 and really, you know, put all your eggs in the basket of a 19-year-old kid from Syracuse who was limited offensively. I mean, you saw on defense and maybe running the team that he had some star potential. But, yeah,
and he's
got
that height at the point guard.
At MCW.
And then look at Holiday. Holiday's hurt, been hurt,
I know.
You know, the last two seasons. He's out for the season now. So, you know, hey, the Sixers are they're moving and grooving.
You got lucky, right, because New Orleans didn't make the playoffs.
Well, don't forget, we got Nerlens Noel in that trade. We got the pick that gave us Nerlens Noel and a first round pick. So it's crazy how we gave up Jrue Holiday, who he's very good. I think he's a very little bit overrated. A little bit, just from what he can do, like as his ceiling. But I mean, we can't find out right now because he's just totally, like you said, injured. And it's a shame. I like Jrue Holiday, but I love Michael Carter-Williams. I didn't coming out of college too. You're right about that. I thought he was gonna have like a trouble from shooting outside, but he has quickly poo-pooed that. I don't know what he's doing, but he's really killing it out there.
Yeah. Well, Greg, thanks for calling, and check out we pick as our guys later on, man. And great tweeting with you and talking to you in person now.
Sounds good, man. I'll call in some other time, and I'll keep up with you.
Yeah,
show.
Definitely.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Greg. Take care.
Take care.
All
thanks.
Bye.
So right off the bat, man, we jump right in, and let's just stick to it right from there. Let's stick with the NBA. When you look at what the Clippers have done and the buyout moves, you get Big Baby Davis and then you get Danny Granger, two sides of the coin. You could be like, well, they were already kind of gelling, and you wonder if trying to get these two guys quality minutes in the system will be an issue. But then you don't know if J.J. Redick will be back or 100% for the playoffs. And so having another scorer with Granger and then Crawford and Davis on the inside – you know, it could really work. What, they've got 23 games or so left to, you know, make it gel. You got to think right now with that move and then the Thunder getting Caron Butler, the two of them are really probably headed to meet in the Western Conference Finals.
Well, it's funny because before the season started, we had our NBA predictions, and I went against the grain and picked the Bulls in the East and the Clippers in the West. And so now these Clippers are looking much better, I think, than, you know, I figured it was Clippers Thunder, in the finals, and right now those two teams look like they could be on course to meet each other in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals. Let me ask you this: what do you think is, you know, what was the most important move that was made or not made in this NBA trade deadline?
It's kind of interesting. I mean, with the buyouts, the deadline, the whole movement, I think it's bizarre that I like the Warriors getting Blake, but to me, the Blazers and Warriors, they're looking like they might want to get bumped in the first round, because what they neither one of them really got was sort of a little thumper off the bench. You know, the Warriors, they killed the Knicks last night. That's a whole other conversation. But what they did show, though, I guess, you know, you have Spates and Draymond Green, but that's fine against the Knicks. But when you're playing against the Spurs and other bigger teams, maybe even against the Clippers, I don't know if Spates and Draymond Green is going to be the answer. And then the Blazers, you know, maybe you just don't want to make a move and you just let everything play out and you build your team slowly. But when you're that close and the Sixers were dumping, Spencer Hawes would have been really nice, or Lavoie Allen on that Blazers team. So I think those two teams not making the moves. Obviously, you know what OKC and the Clippers did with the buyouts. And let's see if Jimmer Fredette can do something with the Bulls. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens. So, and I'm surprised that Caron Butler sort of dissed the Heat, right? He played there before, was drafted there, and goes to the Thunder. So that was
Caron Butler, remember, came over in the Shaq trade.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's right. And he's a veteran. That's the one thing that I like for OKC. People were worried. They lost three in a row at home. Then they beat Memphis last night. So they're sort of waking back up with Westbrook. You and I felt like there was nothing to really worry about. But Caron Butler sort of gives them a shot in the arm. He's the type of guy that when they go to the smaller lineup and they don't have Perkins at the end of the game, you have Ibaka, Durant, Caron Butler, and then you can go Reggie Jackson and Westbrook. That right there is a tough five. And Caron Butler is sort of a clutch veteran who can play both sides of the ball. So that could be a big move for the Thunder.
The question, though, is that where do you put Ibaka? I mean, so let's say you're playing Ibaka at the five. So basically you're icing out Kendrick Perkins because, you know, if he's back and healthy and you know, your minutes, where do they go? If you want to get Caron Butler and Durant on the court at the same time, so do you play Durant at the four? Do you play Durant? Do you play Caron at the two? I mean, where's your – how do you –
I think they're 3-4. And the reality is it's all about matchups, right? I mean, against certain teams, you know, Ibaka, he can probably stay with Duncan, or he could probably stay with, you know, the Clippers with Griffin if they don't have DeAndre Jordan in because of free throws. So – you know, then you have that opportunity for Durant to play the four. And Caron Butler is probably stronger than Durant, so he could probably maybe guard the four and, you know, Durant play the three, or, you know, whatever is the easier matchup so you're not killing Durant. But I just think the versatility it allows them, and then it also makes you able to, you know, more comfortably slide Westbrook to the two, which they like to do, and Reggie Jackson play, or maybe you go with a bigger lineup and go Westbrook Lamb. You know, you just got a lot of different options. I'm just thinking of, like, the, you know, 4 minutes left, fourth quarter, I think Caron Butler, you know, more often than not, could wind himself on the floor. So...
and I hope so. And I hope at 34 that he has some stuff left in the tank, right? It's hard to see, and this is the problem with a 30-team league, is that you see the guy in Miami, and then you see the guy go to the Lakers, and then you see the guy really, you know, win a they won a championship even though he was hurt in Dallas, and so these are all high-profile basketball cities, and then he ends up in Milwaukee, and then his career just kind of goes away. So you hope that he resurrects his career, and you hope that he's in the playoffs and those juices keep, you know, return to him, because you hate to see it. And again, somebody's got to play in Milwaukee, right? So there's no knock on Milwaukee. But, you know, you hate the towards the end of your career, the veterans, you almost want them playing for something and playing for the playoffs, playing for a championship. So I'm glad for Caron that, you know, our boy from UConn, that he got another chance to be in the playoffs again.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a perfect little segue. We just got a little, you know, in terms of some breaking news, looks like UConn wants to try to get back in the top 25. They're leading 35-27 over number 11, Cincinnati. And your boy Sean Kilpatrick is just lacing him up. You know, he shoots like about 34% from three-point range. He's, I told you, he's going to be one guy in the tournament that's deadly, but I like this UConn team, Napier and the boys, so we'll see what happens with that. So let me ask you this. Before we close out the NBA, interesting thing with the Knicks. Did you know since 1984, only two teams, like with 25 left, have been 5.5 games out and made the playoffs, and there surely will not be a third. With the Knicks, like, it just gets – it's almost like a limb that needs to just be cut off. Each day and each night and each game, it gets sicker and sicker. And it's hard when you're a Knicks fan or just watching good basketball. It's the national game on ESPN. And the effort that they gave last night against Golden State, what did they have? Golden State had like 70 or 74 at the half? I mean, that's absurd. The Knicks aren't playing defense, and you got JR saying, oh, it's not our mental, it's our heart. Well, you know, JR, your heart's been gone since Indiana in the playoffs or Boston in the playoffs. So I don't know what's going on, but the Knicks, it's upsetting. And I guess you could just officially say the 11th seed and, you know, that they're done. They're overdone. They're really done.
Bacon, they're done. But let me give all the Knicks fans out there, and if James Dolan's listening to me, please,
yeah,
don't do anything stupid. We tried for years to compete year to year, and in doing so made some terrible mistakes. Let's see the long-term picture, which is that 2015 is where it's at. 2014 is not where it's at. 2015 is where it's at. So ride out these contracts. Try to have less than, you know, three or four guys under contract going into the 2015 season. Talk to Carmelo. Explain this to him, that this is the strategy. And you can opt out in 2014 or you can opt out in 2015. But either way, give us a chance. Give Steve Mills and the boys a chance to build a team. Right off 2014, don't try and make a quick Band-Aid, quick fix. This is something that's fundamentally flawed in the roster. You got to rid yourself. You got to purge yourself of all of these people. So
you're so right.
Don't...
But
yeah.
Did you see Melo's face? I think he's gone. I don't think he wants to. I don't know if he even trusts these guys. These guys are clowns.
Forget New York. Forget the money.
Either
way, you need to rebuild. With Carmelo or without Carmelo, 2014 is going to be a terrible. The 14-15 NBA season is going to be terrible. So just take that. Stop. You know, maybe dial down the marketing a little bit. You know, don't get the fans hyped up.
Give a discount on those seats.
Give a discount on the seats. But set your franchise up. You know, we were in the finals in 94. We were in the finals in 99. But other than that, the Knicks have been a bad team for 20 years. And let's try and get a Patrick Ewing or some kind of core that we can build around. And if it's Carmelo, that's fine. You know, I've seen some things the last couple months in Carmelo that actually are very impressed.
Promising.
But, yes, he'll be frustrated. And you know what? If he doesn't want to sign up for that, I get it. That's okay. I get it. You'll be going into your, what, this is his 11th year, be going into his 12th year. I'm okay with Carmelo saying, look, guys, I got to go to Chicago. It's better for me to win a championship. You tell him, you know what, Carmelo, that's fine. Man to man, this is what we're doing. We're building in 2015. We get Tyson off the books. We get
Felton
probably work itself out. We get Amari off the books. We get Bargnani off the books. So we get a draft pick finally in 2015. We have maybe
and that might allow us at the deadline to make some trades too. You know, prior to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, people might want that like salary dump, and we can maybe make some positive moves that are include a pick and a young player. So you're right. There is some sort of hope. We don't know if it's with Melo or not. But there is some hope. But you know what's so funny? I didn't realize this. You know, first, 10 years, Melo's never missed the playoffs.
Never.
Never.
Yep.
And,
Denver,
you know, so
and then 2 years in New York,
Yeah, he's never missed the playoffs. So give him credit for that because, you know, LeBron and other guys, they surely have. But Melo's never missed the playoffs. So, you know, it's rough. So, hey, let's before we get to some of the college football and stuff, I mean college football, although they're starting the spring games, Ray.
Oh, my God.
College football's hyped up. You know, we might have to get David Shaw back on because they're starting the spring games. But before we start college hoops, just real quick with the NFL. Okay, Jimmy Graham is going to get tagged. We'll see what happens if it's, you know, tight end or whatever. It's going to be tight end. It's like, please, you play tight end. You know, your coach is a tight end coach. But – and we talked already, you know, with Greg, our caller, about what the Eagles have done. But how about this? How about – what is it? The linebacker from Cleveland, Quatrell Jackson, he's gone. So, you know, they let him go, Cleveland. Kind of surprised, you know, one of their best tacklers. Tennessee Titans, a couple of the teams are looking at him. Jarius Byrd, the safety from Buffalo, they might – tag him again or let him go. You know, there's talks about this is what I want to ask you. The Indianapolis Colts, they might wind up signing Jonathan Martin and Eric Decker. How does that sound? That sounds pretty good.
You know, Jonathan Martin played with Andrew Luck at Stanford.
Yeah.
So that's a good fit for him probably. And
yeah.
Eric Decker is a very,
nice
very solid. Yeah, I mean, you think to yourself, Eric Decker, T.Y. Hilton, Colby Fleener, Reggie Wayne coming back. That
That's
gives
no pressure
Andrew
on
Luck
Decker.
Some,
that's perfect.
That gives Oof. Andrew Luck some weapons and put him on turf and spread him out. I like that. I like that. You know, I don't think he's a true number one, but I think in that system, you know, sandwiched between T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne, Eric Decker, just like in Denver, can have himself a, you know, 1,100-yard, 9-10-touchdown season. Why not?
Yeah, and then Martin, I think, could surely help out the running game. They wind up drafting, you know, maybe a guard inside, have Martin play left or right tackle, whatever works out. You know, protect Andrew Luck. You can't have that investment in this guy, you know, two guys that just get killed, you know, Sam Bradford and Andrew Luck. I mean, you got to give these guys offensive lines if you want to develop a quarterback. You know, so that's kind of interesting, you know, some NFL free agency stuff. The official tags, of course, the Panthers tag the great defensive linebacker, Greg Hardy. They don't want to lose him. What are your thoughts about this, man? I think we got some ageism going on. You know, Ray and Tay, we don't like when people, you know, put out the ageism. That's not nice. Steve Smith, man, the Carolina Panthers are talking about cutting him. You know, he's got $3 million that he's going to get definitely, the $7 or $8 million cap hit. But to me, Ray, they have Nathan. You can't get rid of Steve Smith. You need to build around him. They have nobody at wide receiver. And already I think Ted Ginn is a free agent. I don't know. What are your thoughts about this? Because Steve Smith, he's a lot younger than 35, how he plays.
Really? See, I don't know about that. But I do know that they need three receivers. And why can't Steve Smith be one of them? I mean, to me, it seems ridiculous. Look at what Baltimore did with Dennis Pitta. I mean, they signed him for, 5 years, $32 million. So they realized that they needed to give Flacco some weapons. And if you think about it, first thing you want to do for a quarterback probably is give him an offensive line because you want him standing upright. The next thing you want to do is give him weapons. Look at what the Indianapolis Colts were always able to do. Maybe at the expense of the defense, you could argue for 13, 14 years with Peyton Manning. But you got to give your star stud quarterback, you got to give him weapons. Because one of the things you want also is not for him not to make bad decisions and get in bad habits. So one of the ways you do that is you give him playmakers. So who does Cam Newton have on the outside? You know, I thought Brandon LaFell was going to turn out to be a little bit better than he was. But
he's lucky if he's a three.
Greg Olsen is an okay receiver at this point in his career. Used to be fast.
Yeah, you still need another younger tight end.
Still serviceable, but you need weapons. Who are the playmakers on that team? You know, even the running backs, you know, are solid, but Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, they don't seem to get the ball in space enough. So I don't know if I don't know what.
That's why Cam was in our segment. Remember, we did our segment. I had Killer Cam, and you had Luck. Yeah, doing more of it last because he got nobody.
So, yeah, I don't understand what's the deal. Steve Smith seems like he's a tough, hard-nosed, you know, guy that's good in the locker room and gets people fired up, maybe a little feisty, maybe gets under your skin. But you know what? That's the type of team you need, especially because they're a defensive-oriented team. But they're going to have to make some plays because think about how stacked that NFC is. Green Bay will be back next year. You got to figure, of course, you know, the Saints will be back, and then you've got the two best teams in San Francisco, who beat you at home in a playoff game, and of course the defending champ, Seattle. So you're the fifth best team at best, you know, maybe right now going into the season in the NFC, and let alone if anybody comes out of the NFC East. So you need to get some offensive weapons.
Yeah, no, you're totally right, and you don't want to waste a young, talented career. You know, I think even the Bears, you know, the year or two when they didn't get weapons and offensive line for Cutler, that's two seasons of this guy taking brutal hits and just wasting his arm. And so I want the Panthers to learn from that mistake, and Ron Rivera being an ex-Bear, he probably should. You know, and there's a good free agent class of receivers. I mean, what if you get a Nix? What if you bring in Emmanuel Sanders? You know, there's some guys out there that can definitely help some rosters. Santonio Holmes, I wouldn't want him on my team, but, you know, even though I love what he did in the Super Bowl, that toe tap, but Santonio's not the same guy. I'd argue he's a two or a three right now. So,
three.
You know, hey, it definitely it is what it is. But you know what? Let's get into March and let's get into some baseball. I hear the bats cracking out here in Arizona. Gonna go check out the D-backs and Padres next week at spring training. Yankees got their first win after losing a couple of games to the Pirates. They won yesterday over Detroit. What are you thinking so far in the first couple of days of spring training baseball? And are there any teams or anybody that jumps out to you?
So it's funny. So our boy Tanaka came out of the bullpen last night. So that was good. Or yesterday, so that was good to see.
Yeah.
I saw Elvis Andrus got shut down with the forearm. Hopefully he'll be okay. I think that, you know what, I hate to go back to the teams that have been dominant, but I think –
But they're
going to
still
like,
be, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Cardinals,
I like the
Dodgers
and the Cardinals. I think that those two teams are kind of the class of the we'll go through our baseball previews, but I like those teams in the NL. And then in the AL, I mean, you know, Detroit, you got to love Detroit coming back. Maybe the Rangers do something.
Maybe
you know,
Baltimore.
The team I really want to see, especially because of the – about face that they did 2-3 years ago with signing free agents. I'm very curious to see what happens in L.A. with the what do they call them
Angels.
Now? The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yes.
So
that's a lot.
Angels. Yeah, exactly. That's a mouthful, right? The marketing folks are crazy. What's Rod Carew thinking these days? So I want to see what they do because, you know, Artie Moreno for years didn't spend money. And for years, Mike Socha played small ball, pitching, defense, running the bases.
Yeah,
and now
advancing the runners
up. It's the exact opposite. So now, in the past few years, right, they go out, and good for them for drafting a Mike Trout and a Trumbo. And then they go out and get themselves Josh Hamilton the year after they get themselves Albert Pujols. So he goes out and finally spends money. So it's almost like the franchise finally thing. And CJ, right, and they bring in the pitcher, the lefty, and so now what do they have to show for it? So I'm very curious to see if you have some, and it would be great to have a rivalry again between the Dodgers and the Angels in L.A., like the Mets and the Yankees maybe. That would be great. So that's the team that I really have my eye on. But I don't know who's going to come up and sneak up on us this year. I mean, I think it's the same usual suspects as last year. Look,
you know, how about
our
this?
Yankees? Maybe,
yeah.
You know, you figure the Yankees,
right.
Think about who they're bringing back. They're bringing back, essentially bringing back Teixeira or getting a new, like a revamped Teixeira.
Hey, and McCann's looking good. He hit
Brian
a home
McCann,
run the other day. He's been getting
Carlos
some shots,
Beltran,
driving in runs.
Yep. The Tanaka. So the Yankees have a lot of new and old names that are coming back that, hey, maybe. I mean, you only lose to
Healthy Jeter.
Right? And you only lose Cano. But hopefully, you know, your boy from Baltimore can step in there, Brian Roberts. And, you know, maybe the Yankees with five or six really new names or new and returning names, maybe they can do something in the AL East. But that AL East is brutal because the Red Sox aren't going anywhere. The Orioles are tough. We know about the Rays, who signed David Price for another year. They're still going to be there. And Toronto maybe has the most talent on their roster. So that AL East
right,
is
if that
still
team could
brutal.
Wake up. Well, you know, let me ask you this. Let me jump back to the National League. I mean, you know, the Giants very well could, you know, come back, you know, with Hunter Pence being healthy and their guys. But this is one team that I like. Even though I think the Cardinals are loaded, I like the Cincinnati Reds a little bit. I mean, we know about their pitching, but, you know, this young kid at center field, he came up at the end of the year, Billy Hamilton, he's kind of fast, steals a lot of bases. I think with him, Votto, Bruce, Phillips, the Cincinnati Reds might be the year, right? They keep making the playoffs and they keep losing. It's not really Dusty Baker's fault, but he's gone, bringing a new manager. Maybe this is the year where just, you know, no injuries and the pitching and the bat cracks the right way and they can, you know, surpass the Cardinals. You know, but at least there's teams in these cities that they have some hope, right? You're a Chicago Cub fan. There's nothing going on. You know, there's not much going on, I guess, if you're probably a Padre fan. I guess there's some teams where, at least Seattle, right, they spent a little money. They went and got Cano. They got some other players. So, you know, there's a little bit of hope. I don't know if they can get out of that AL West, but there's at least something to go see. You know, you don't mind paying to see Cano.
Here's another thing I want to see. I want to see how all the reported steroids guys do this year. All the guys that were, especially the guys that changed teams. But let's say Ryan Braun stayed
Cruz.
In Milwaukee, but I want to see how Nelson Cruz does on a new team. And I want to see how, some of these other players like Johnny Peralta do on other teams. So it'll be very interesting to see if this affects them, how the crowds treat them at home and on the road. So I'm very curious to see. I mean, it looks like Alex.
I bet you the fans forget. I think the fans forget. I think the fans, you know, it's been so long.
They just become immune to this?
Yeah, I think maybe you'll have a couple of fans in their rival stadium that might woof at them a little, maybe the first week of the season. After that, I mean, it's sort of like, you know what, get me a home run or, you know, let me see your on-base percentage, you know. I think it's really, it's, you know. It does, you know. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily see it this way, but we've heard the argument maybe even from some younger fans and some people who are older too, like, hey, you know, let these guys do what they want. I don't care. I just want to see good games. So, you know, everybody views it differently, and I think our society is changing that people aren't so Pollyanna about it. But, you know, it is what it is. But real quick, one quick note I want to ask you, speaking of Pollyanna, what's the deal with the NBA telling LeBron he can't wear the black mask? They want him to wear a clear mask. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
What is he, like, scaring people?
I thought that they were having fun with that, too, when Chris Bosh took a picture of it Instagram and he put a Batman cape on. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. The marketing people, you know, when they take over, it who knows? I mean, I get that you want to see, especially in basketball, that's the big difference in basketball and football, is that you see the people's faces and you see their, you know, person and their personality and they're wearing shorts and so – to some degree, I get it. Maybe the mask covers up your face a little bit, but why not? Let him be a little creative. It's not something he's going to wear forever. He's going to wear it, what, for 4 weeks maybe? Even though Rip Hamilton wore his for years.
I don't know. It's much to do about nothing.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's a little thing. You know what? Let's take a quick break, and then let's come back with our segment. Yo, that's my guy, Ray and Tay.
Yo, we're back with our segment, Yo, That's My Guy. And if you don't remember, you haven't had the segment for a while, but Ray and Tay bring you a guy, a gal, a team, somebody that might be below the radar screen that Ray and Tay like that you need to keep your eye on, whether it be for the playoffs, whether it be for individual performance. But we want you to keep an eye on that guy. Yo, that's my guy. So why don't you tell us who's your guy?
You know, my guy's not under the radar, but I think he might have been a little bit last year. He was injured. He plays down in D.C., and he came back last year, and when he came back, he basically went crazy and was doing big things. And this year, he made his first All-Star game. The other night, in triple overtime, he played great offense, great defense, you know, put up 31 points and, you know, 11 assists, you know, 9 rebounds, got busy. His name is John Wall. I saw this guy at Madison Square Garden a couple years back. I don't know if it was 09 or 10, you know, when Kentucky was, you know, when they got Wall and Cousins, and I took my son to see him play, and he was electric. His speed is ridiculous. And what I'm seeing right now, the way he matched up at the end of the game against DeRozan to, you know, play defense, then he makes a big steal on Vasquez, you know, on the pick and roll and switches. He's playing winning basketball. They don't have Nene, but he's stepping up with him and Gortat, Bradley Beal, Ariza, and the guys. John Wall is averaging 20 points a game, 8.6 assists, 4.3 steals. Now, he's only shooting about 41%. But with the good defense, I think John Wall might be able to steal a first-round win in the Eastern Conference this year.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that John Wall, yo, that's my guy. Watch the Wizards. Watch them in the playoffs. And whether it's the 3-6 matchup against Toronto, I'm not sure, but I think that they'll be able to get a first-round win, whether it's the 3-6 or the 4-5.
Well, that's awesome because, you know, I may have over-boosted him, but I thought coming out of Kentucky, he'd be better than Derrick Rose. I thought he'd be the best guard coming out of Kentucky because I thought he was the purest of the point guards. I didn't realize Derrick Rose was this athletic and this ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So if Derrick Rose can stay healthy, he's still Derrick Rose, right? He's got one MVP under his belt. But I thought he'd be better than Tyreek Evans and then a lot of these kids coming out of Kentucky just because – the ability to steal, his on-the-ball, really off-the-ball defense, too, playing passing lanes. This guy's great. So I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
So my guy.
Who are you rolling with?
So for people who don't know, Ray and Tay, has four sons. But if he has a fifth son, I'm going to say you need to name him Cleanthony because my guy is a fella by the name of Cleanthony Early. And if you don't know, check him out. He's a senior.
2 o'clock
Eastern. He's a forward, and he plays for the 30-0 Wichita State Shockers. And the Wichita State hasn't been this good for years. Now, granted, they went to the Final Four last year, but this team has been sustained excellence. Now, everybody knows about Ron Baker, the shot maker. But this kid, Cleanthony Early, is average. He's leading the team in points at almost 16 a game, leading the team in rebounds at 6 rebounds a game, and just has, you know, he just has toughness. He's shooting 85% from the free throw line. That's what's beautiful about this team is they got three guys that play a lot of minutes that shoot 85%
great free throws, right?
Free throw, yeah. Van Vliet, Baker, and Early. But yeah, Cleanthony Early is really the toughness and the heartbeat of this team. And this Wichita State Shocker team, look, it shouldn't shock anybody if they go back to the Final Four. But give them credit because to be a mid-major and to have been in the Final Four last year, to go back again, I mean, I can only think in the last 30 years or so about maybe Butler is the only team that has gone to back-to-back Final Fours. But Wichita State has every chance to do it. I mean, with all these teams losing, they are probably going to be a number one seed. So I like this kid. I like this kid, Cleanthony Early. So keep an eye on him in the tournament. Keep an eye on him. You know, big
well, they
dude,
play against
six,
Missouri
eight,
State at 2 o'clock, right?
20.
I mean, that's coming on. And that was the team that took them to overtime earlier this season. So to finish out their season undefeated, they got to beat a team that plays good ball with them. So
yeah,
I'm excited
to
see it.
I want to see them in the tournament. I want to see them in the six-game tournament already. But, yeah, yo, that's
definitely. Well, that's your guy. Well, that's the perfect segue from Ray to the college hoops. So let's talk about it. I mean, we mentioned in the, you know, early on, you know, that Connecticut was up on Cincy. And we got some ranked matchups today. Number 4 against number 12 is the most interesting. This is basically for the ACC title. Syracuse against UVA. I think this is going to be interesting, but I think UVA it's going to be too much for them, this Syracuse zone. You know, and I think with Grant and Christmas and the way Fair's playing, I think at 4 Eastern, we're going to see Syracuse showing that they are still the class of the ACC. Not that UVA is a bad team, but I just think Tony Bennett's boys aren't ready for that Syracuse zone coming up in the big battle in the ACC.
You know what? I sort of think the opposite. I think when Syracuse lost, they're going to lose 3 out of 5, you know, and so they lost to Duke and they lost to BC, and I think they're going to lose again in Charlottesville, and they're going to go into a little mini slump before the ACC tournament. They have time to turn it around. They'll probably still be a number one seed, but I think UVA is going to sneak up, bite them in the butt, and basically,
I know that would
ACC
make my cousin Dawn happy today. Today's her birthday.
She's
a graduate of UVA. Yeah, so she would definitely like that one. So let's look at some of these other ranked games. And by the way, UConn is up 36 on Cincinnati. So what's interesting, not a ranked game, but I guess the featured game tonight is your guys. Oklahoma State hosting Kansas, number 5. This is still, like I said a couple shows ago, they got to kind of run the table, and I think this right here would kind of just put them in, right? A big win against a top team, even though it's in their conference. Oklahoma State needs to beat Kansas today, I think, to really solidify not just their tournament, but, you know, even, you know, 10 seed. God, they're going to be a tough team in the tournament, Ray. I really believe that. I think they're going to be a tough out, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, well, first they got to get in to be out.
Yeah.
To be a tough out. But, yeah, you're right. They have every chance playing in that Big 12, right? Because, you know, between the regular season and the Big 12 tournament, they probably have to get maybe 2 quality wins. Obviously, if you can knock off a Kansas, that's like a 1.5 quality wins, you know? So they have a chance. I think, like we talked about many times, they're more talented than a team struggling on the bubble, right? If they end up being a 10 or an 11 seed, right, that's a bad matchup for a 6 or 7 seed there. So for sure, keep your eye out on them. I would say another team to look at, right? We talked about the Spartans a few times, but it looks like Dawson's back and ready to return. You know, he came back on the practice, so he's back. Florida's getting their backup point guard, Casey Hill, back, so keep an eye on that.
Them Gators. What about the big matchup today against Louisville and Memphis? Number 7 Louisville traveling to 21 Memphis. Listen, Memphis, one thing I'll say, Louisville has been sneaky good this year. But this Memphis team has had they play a tough schedule. They played some good out-of-conference games. I think Memphis. Yeah, no, he's doing it. Look, he's doing a great job. And I got a funny feeling. I think Memphis is going to beat Louisville today. I do.
It could be. Because, you know, they've got more star power, Louisville, right? They got our boy Smith, Russ Smith, coming off the, you know, I'll shoot out of the, as soon as I step on the court, I'll shoot from the parking lot. Graham Harrell, they've got some star power, whereas Memphis is more of a team. I mean, it's spread out between, you know, Jackson and Goodwin and all those guys. But
they play so hard.
They do, you know. And Memphis State is kind of a quiet 21-7. They've been teetering on being, you know, a top 20 team all year. And they finally broke down and had a good, you know, a couple of top 25 wins. So look out for Memphis in the tournament. I think Louisville wins this game this afternoon at 2. I mean, I think they tip off in about 10 minutes. But look out for Memphis in the tournament in general. They're going to be a nice, fun team to watch in the tournament.
So let me ask you this, as we're sort of winding down and March 9th, Sunday, is the last games of the regular season for most people, depending on your conference. College basketball, one thing we'll talk about, the rushing of the court and the guy throwing the ball, the negative, should they change that rule? The SEC has already changed it. You can't rush the court. That's sort of just the news of the day, and maybe it's smart to change it to be proactive before something major happens where somebody really, really gets hurt, even though over the years there have been a couple of injuries, right? And then on the positive side, let's start talking about the Wooden Award winner, the Player of the Year, the Naismith. Who do you think right now, like the top two or three guys for Player of the Year?
Well, so first, rushing the court, I flip-flopped on that. I think you should eliminate it. Just because the downside is too great. Somebody and, people can get really, really hurt. Anytime you have thousands of people potentially rushing the court, I get school spirit and I get having fun, but do it in the stands. You just can't. It's a public safety issue, and I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but it's a public safety issue.
Well, the players of the opposite team don't have time to get off the court as soon as that upset comes. And now they don't do it just for upsets at number one. They just do it for, like, any win. It's kind of crazy.
How can you blame, unless you tell them it's illegal and your team will be fined and, whatever, how can you blame 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids who are in, sleeping out for like Jalen Rose said, sleeping out for three, four days to get these tickets? You can't blame them for rushing the court, but I think
still
you
can prevent them from hurting themselves.
You have to prevent it. You have to say public safety takes precedent over this. Have a rally, have whatever, have the coaches fire them up, whatever. Maybe after the game, let the visiting team leave the building and then do something, with making sure you have enough security there. But, yeah, I think they should outlaw rushing the court. I think the SEC has it right. And then in terms of the Player of the Year, most years there's several guys, and we started out the year with a bunch of guys that were in contention, and I got to believe there's one guy out there.
Dougie Buckets?
Is Dougie Fresh. I can't even imagine. This kid's going to score 3,000 points. Now, granted, it's not a lifetime achievement, but this season, he's just moving up and up the all-time scoring list. He's basically
Well, his all-around game is getting better, and his team's winning. That's what's important.
He stayed in school for his senior year. His team is winning. I mean, there's nothing negative to say about Creighton. They're 23-4, number 9 in the country. Dougie Buckets, look, they're going to make this decision before the tournament, right? But Dougie Fresh, I mean, he's having some crazy, crazy.
And do you have to give Marshall Coach of the Year? We never really talk about the coaches. Do you have to give Marshall Coach of the Year? Wichita State, I would like to see him get it.
Yeah, I'm thinking on back-to-back, great seasons. Maybe who was a surprise this year? Maybe Virginia.
Tony Bennett's done a great job, too.
Tony Bennett's done great at Virginia.
And even our shout-out to Roy Williams, right? The fastest ever in ACC to 300 ahead of Dean Smith and Coach K. And losing two of his players early on and then getting one back, but losing his star, P.J. Hairston, who's now, like, in a D-League. Look at what and then he rejuvenated and woke up James Michael McAdoo.
Right.
So, number 19
talent
in the country.
It's hard to give. Yeah, it's hard to give Roy Williams.
No, I know.
He's
doing a heck of a job, though. He is doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, my man Dougie Fresh, though, is averaging 26-7 on 50. This is the thing. He's shooting 52% from the field, 88% from the line, 44% from three. I mean, this kid is like the ultimate offensive weapon. So, yeah, so he's Player of the Year. I'm trying to think. Does Billy Donovan get credit, or is he just too – his roster's too talented? Does he get credit for coach
pretty,
of the year
They were projected pretty high, yeah. I can't – maybe a team like Oklahoma.
Jay Wright at Villanova, quietly speaking, is 24-3?
No, that's somebody I think that doesn't – look, he gets overlooked. And be honest, Villanova's not getting – the top recruits They're just not. They're getting, you know, second, third-tier guys and putting it together. I mean, you could say Billy Donovan's sort of the same thing, but, you know, both those guys, I don't think that they've got, like, huge, you know, huge recruiting classes where you're saying these are definite McDonald's All-Americans. So,
right.
You know. But I want to ask you this, right? The Oscars are Sunday. Ray and Tay, we love movies. We love sports movies. But I want to throw out a couple of predictions. Just throw out there who you think is going to win Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress. What are your thoughts? Best Picture this year? I don't know. For me, it's hard. I could see American Hustle, 12 Years a Slave. I'll just throw it up there. I'll go with 12 Years a Slave for the
nine
emotional.
Nominees.
Yeah. Yeah, it's big. I mean, Gravity, that's one I haven't seen.
Filipina,
I'd like to see.
Filipina was a great one. If you didn't see
her.
That's a great story. Judi Dench, of course, kills it. And her other lead, the male lead, was great, too. He's a comedian, and he's a great he was a great actor. I tell you what, that's a tough one. What are you going with?
I'm
going to
go with 12 Years a Slave. I'm going to go, yeah. Steve McQueen, he did a great job. I think it's gotten a lot of – it's got some wins under its belt. But I think between 12 Years a Slave and American Hustle, I think they have the two biggest momentums. I think they're
yeah.
You know.
I hear you. I hear you.
Or are you going to go with
Nebraska
because of sports?
I didn't see it, though. that's funny.
No, I didn't see it.
The Cornhuskers. Nah. You know what? I'll go with a dark horse. I really like Filomena. So I'll go with Filomena just as a great, you know, tribute to Judi Dench. I'll go with that. So what do you think about? So let's do best actor and best actress. So you got five in each category. So best actor, I'll throw out the names and you tell me who you think. So Christian Bale, American Hustle, Bruce.
I love it.
Dem from
Bale.
Nebraska, Leo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, your boy from 12 Years a Slave, I don't even want to pronounce his name, and Matthew McConaughey from the Dallas Buyers Club.
I'm actually going Matthew McConaughey. It's his year. I think Dallas Buyers Club, I think he's won a little, although I love Christian Bale, I think it's Matthew's year. So I'm going to go Matthew
with that.
There.
I saw that about a month ago. And he had to lose all that weight, and
yeah.
That role, he was fantastic. So I agree. I think Matthew really killed it in that role, and he's my pick for best actor. Now, what do you think about best
actress? And then
actress?
Best actress. Well, I already know you got Judi Dench, you have Meryl Streep, Sandra Bullock, who, you know, never really gets the respect of the Academy. I think that's good that she's nominated. Of course, Kate Blanchett, who's always
Blanchett.
Up there, and Amy Adams. I know you're going with Judi Dench. I haven't seen that picture. I did love Meryl Streep in Osage County, August at Osage County. I saw that. I don't know.
What about Amy
is
Adams
time for
in Sandra? American Hustle?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I think she's sort of the favorite. I think it's the momentum for her. Meryl Streep's gotten so many, and she always gets nominated. I'm going to go with Amy Adams. I think Amy Adams is going to pull it out this year. So.
Yeah, I think they'll win one of the two. Either Best Picture or Amy Adams will win for Best Actress.
So, all right. Well, you know, I figured we'd just give a couple of predictions and stuff like that. But as we sign off, I got to ask you, what's your fate? If you had to pick one, if you're going to watch it for the second or tenth time. What is the one sports movie that you could just sit down on a rainy, cold, snowy Saturday afternoon in New York and you're not going anywhere and you cuddle up with wifey and you know, she says, you pick the movie, I'll watch it with you. And if you've got to pick a sports film, which one are you picking?
Wow. There's so many. That's so
hard.
And
it's what you want to see, not that you're trying to appease Erica and make her comfortable to see it. What does Ray want to see?
Of course. I got to tell you, my dark horse is The Replacements. You know, I love The Replacements, even though I think Keanu Reeves can't act.
Everybody, quiet as kept, that's Ray's favorite movie. Don't let nobody fool you. That is Ray's favorite movie, The Replacements.
When they go shoot up the guy's Porsche, when they say, where is new protection. So you done.
We didn't even mention your boy beating up his Ferrari, Richie Incognito. That's just crazy.
Oh, my God.
Out here at Scottsdale.
Oh, my God. But there have been so many great ones. Like,
Come on, give me one. Give me one.
Oh, just throw one out there. Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm
going to
tell you who my
one.
Two are.
Oh, you got
or
two?
Between my two. Well, no, for me, it's either Hoosiers or Field of Dreams. One movie, one time. Hoosiers, I think it's just because I like basketball so much. I got to go with Hoosiers. Gene Hackman was so great.
Okay.
And just the story. I love Hoosiers.
Yeah, I got to – so I got to go with – I would think that I have to put a Rocky in there just because that's
Ooh.
My guy. You know what I mean? Adrian,
yeah.
You know?
Yo, Adrian, the first Rocky. Yeah. I'm not mad.
I guess
at
I gotta throw Rocky in there. That's just my own bias because I've seen it so many times. And what's your second movie?
Well, gosh, you got me wide open with that Rocky thing. But I love Field of Dreams. I love.
What about The Natural? I saw that the
well,
other day.
Well, that was the other one I was gonna say. The other day, my mom was watching it. It was on TV. I froze. I had to watch like 10 minutes of it. And I've been watching a lot of 42 lately. I thought the guy that played Jackie Robinson did a great job. I thought he was amazing. And I also think The Butler should have been nominated, by the way. I think The Butler got jerked. I like that movie. It's won some awards, but it didn't get nominated. But I will say this. I love The Natural. To me, Roy Hobbs, the story, Robert Redford, it was magical. And as a kid, just remember watching that. It took you somewhere only where baseball can take a kid, you know? So The Natural would be right there.
I can watch over and over and over again, Remember the Titans. I can see that movie.
That's a good movie.
10,
That's
20
a darn good
times.
Movie.
I mean, it's a fantastic movie. Great acting and also just the story
yeah.
compelling. And
the
you
story,
got, you know,
yeah.
Racial, coming together in Northern Virginia in the 60s. And 70s. I mean, that was a great movie.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful for the children. So, listen, Ray and Tay, Saturday, maybe we'll flip in and we'll come back on Tuesday or whatever. You know, we'll talk NFL free agency, the tags, you know, stuff's going on. And then maybe we'll get back to our normal schedule next week, next Friday. But another great show, man. Let's go watch some college hoops and
so
the Academy Awards Sunday.
Right.
Lace it up.
Yep, enjoy.
Thanks for listening.
We'll talk to you on the flip side.
Talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Peace.